Right. You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the dog and put out the cat. Yakety-yak!
Don't hold back.
Yakety-yak. That's what some people say we do on the air here, but we do more than just yakety-yak. We try to bring you what's going on in our world. We're about to have our weekly conversation with the city paper, and is our senior editor, Boehner Woods, there?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
All right, man. How are you?
Doing great.
So tell me what's going on.
So we have a pretty intense issue this week. The feature story, Speak No Evil, by Phil Jacobs, the former editor of the Jewish Times.
Oh, yes.
Deals with allegations against Rabbi Eisgrau, who his daughter claims molested him, and he's the principal of the Torah Institute in Owings Mills. And so it's a really heavy but powerful story heading up the issue, the cover this week. And the allegations have been around for a while, but there's still, since a documentary in 2008, but there's not been really any action on it. And so this has been something that Jacobs has continued to work on, as well as Ganindi, the rabbi's daughter.
So, I mean, no action was taken in that the rabbi is still the helm of the
Yes,
institute?
Exactly right. He's still the helm of the institute, and I believe there are 600 students there.
I mean, you know, this is something that some communities always try to kind of sweep under the rug. What's important about this is not just people always point their fingers at the Catholic Church. It's not just the Catholic Church.
Exactly right. It's something that that's spread far more widely than that. And that's exactly right that the story's called "Speak No Evil" because her family won't speak to her anymore. She's gone to Israel, and she's been completely isolated from the Orthodox community. We've also got this amazing, on a lighter note, this story. Box Brown, who's going to be at Atomic Books tomorrow, May 15th, he did a graphic novel of the life of the professional wrestler Andre the Giant.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I learned this astounding thing in there that when he was a kid, Andre the Giant, he was too big to take the school bus. And so his neighbor would give him a ride to school every day. And his neighbor happened to be the playwright Samuel Beckett, a novelist. And that's what spurred the book, this thing of Beckett giving Andre the Giant a ride to school every day.
I love it. Speaking of Jewish, he was the Jewish Giant.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the kind of thing that Beckett would make up in one of his absurdist novels, and it actually happened.
So what have you got in this issue?
So my column, arts column, Conflicts of Interest, this time I deal with a group of, you'll be interested in this, a group of six different theaters and performance companies around town have teamed up and responded to the city's request for proposals on 408 through 414 North Howard Street, which they're trying to turn into a hub for performance. So we have the Acme Corporation, Annex Theater, EMP Collective, Effervescent Dance Collective, are all coming to, and then also Rick Royer coming back to town from Providence, the performance artist with his group, Psychic Readings, all trying to get these three storefront spaces and fill them with performance venues that would really radically change North Howard Street.
So does that mean that just three of them would get these venues and three would not?
No, so they teamed up as the Baltimore Theater Co-op.
Uh-huh.
And so what they're trying to do is three would be primarily responsible for running the spaces, and three that aren't as interested in running spaces, like Lily Kind of Effervescent says, you know, a full season for them is four performances. So they don't really need, they want a permanent home, but don't want to be running buildings. So three would be sort of in a more tenant situation, and three would actually be operating the spaces.
Now that's really exciting.
That's really exciting. They're the only people that put in the that responded to the RFP from the city, and they have some really interesting and sort of strange bedfellows. And Teddy Rouse is on board helping them out. So they've really, it looks like it's something that could actually happen. And they're trying to push the city a little bit, because if it doesn't happen in time to get historic tax credits in August, then it may not happen.
So they need to push. Well, we should be helping you cover that, because they need to get that. We need that.
It'd be great to have them on talking sometime, because they really have sharp things to say about it.
Well, we'll work on that one. I like that. That's an important issue. And so before we have to run out of time, what did you another term of art, you had something about the Reginald F. Lewis Museum in this issue as well.
Yeah, so Brad did a great piece about the, forgetting the name of the whole show together. There's all kinds of local people
for whom it stands.
Yeah, with Shota K involved. And Sheila Pre Bright has been taking, a couple months ago, he went and covered when she was here. He ended up in one of the photographs. She's been taking pictures of people with the American flag to get a sense of what Americans look like, what Americans are. And they're amazing pictures. Brett ended up in one himself. But it really, I mean, in her life is a really interesting story of growing up in Germany and not really being familiar with American racial relations. And so, and then coming here and being confronted with that. And so she's working through some of those issues in these photographs, which are really stunning photos.
That and more. And the City Paper always tells us what's happening inside of our community. Other papers do not in this town very well. And I think especially underneath our creative world in this town and doing the investigations they always do and unafraid to put them out there in print. Just pick them up all across town, open that box and walk away with it. And it's yours. And Baynard Woods is senior editor of the City Paper, joins us here every week to do a rundown of what's happening in the City Paper. Baynard, thanks so much, man.
All right, thank you, and great segments from the UMBC students in a
they are.
Far from objective way, but...
You're allowed. It's okay.
But really spectacular. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Take care, man. Good to always talk to you, Baynard. And good to have you all with us today. Reminding you, on our way out the door today, you're listening here to the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. And join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m., at the Enoch Pratt Free Library as we talk about the meat racket with his host Christopher Leonard. Be part of that discussion, 7 p.m. tomorrow night at Enoch Pratt. Good to have you all here. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Intern is Alex Boston. You can hear this show and find out information about our guests and anything we've talked about today by just visiting our website, steinershow.org, and continue to download and podcast all of our stuff on iTunes. And you're listening to King Oliver, his birthday today. Going out, the great jazz musician from New Orleans. And for public radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.